Cato lies on his sleeping mat, watching the first light of dawn break over the mountains of the moon. He's thinking about the two big-headed boys who would soon stand before the elders of the Burikyanja, each calling the other a liar. His wife stirs beside him and asks, "Are you awake?" His only answer, a quiet groan. She rolls up onto her elbows and looks into his eyes. "Are you worried?" "I'm looking at the mountains. You see them? You see how serene they are. I never worry when I look out on the mountains." "Well, maybe a little. Those two guys are so quick to fight. Maybe you should have let them finish it out in the forest." "I wish I could just let them beat one another bloody, but I cannot. They have lots of brothers, and the fight would spill into the village. Bring women to the meeting today. Lots of women to sit and listen calmly, like the mountains. And when the decision comes, speak with a big voice." No one knows exactly where or when modern man diverged from the great apes. What is known for certain is that it happened someplace in Africa, quite likely along the vast geological fault line known as the Great Rift, which skirts the east coast of Africa from Ethiopia to Tanzania. It was in Ethiopia that a pre-human Australopithecine nicknamed Lucy lay down and died some 3 million years ago. Disinterred in our time, she is recognized as one of the earliest ancestors to walk upright across the plains of Africa. Further south, the earliest known toolmakers, Homo habilis, first shaped bones and stones into axes and knives to better kill their quarry, and kindled fire to better devour it. Our ancestors continued to evolve until approximately 300,000 years ago, with the appearance of modern man, Homo sapiens sapiens. He marked the end of physical adaptations to the environment and the beginning of socio-cultural ones. So human physical evolution led to the invention of culture, which marked the end of human physical evolution. If you were walking in the jungles of Central Africa and came across a cluster of 40 or so huts, livestock pens, plantain gardens, and mud granaries, you might not realize you'd stumbled on an evolutionary adaptation that rivals the importance of Lucy's bipedalism or the toolkit of Homo habilis. But you had. The village. With rare exception, human social evolution has produced little that can match the advantages of village life. The village of Burikyanja, where this episode began, is an historical village in Central Africa, occupied by the Amba people. There, they take shelter from the jungle, from the elements, from enemies and predators. There, they have hearths and homes, places to bring a spouse and raise a family, with kin next door to offer help and companionship. There, they tend gardens and flocks, to lift themselves above the uncertainties of foraging. Even so, village life has its problems. People, most of whom are related, living so closely together, do find fault with one another. They gossip. They bicker. They insinuate, disrespect, or disobey. They may lie, or cheat, or steal, or fornicate, or do other injuries that bring strife to the entire community. Village life can be tense. In a previous episode, we saw how the Yanomamo use ritualized violence to maintain some semblance of order in their villages. The situation among the Amba is quite different. They approach the problem kind of like we approach Thanksgiving dinner. We try to keep the peace and not blow up family ties. Which brings us back to our character Cato, an elder in the Burikyanja. He and the other elders are about to hear a dispute between two village men that has turned violent. To their minds, the real victim is village life, and that is what they mean to protect. The morning is already hot, and the air heavy by the time the elders gather in the central courtyard of the village. They arrive quickly and cluster in small groups, seated on stools under the shade of a few stunted acacia trees. Other men arrive in twos and threes, seating themselves cross-legged on the ground or on their haunches. The mood is serious. There's almost no chatter. Cato sits among the other elders under an acacia tree. His gaze searches the paths leading to the central square. At last, he sees his wife and many other women weaving their way through a warren of huts. They sit together on the edge of the square, well behind the men. Cato stands, tapping his stool with his walking stick. Elders of the Burikyanja, it is good you have come today. You are men of means, with family and livestock and lands under your care. It is right that you sit today to judge a dispute that disrupts our village. Raising his walking stick, Cato points at a well-built man in his early 20s. You see Kasoka here with his father and two brothers. Swinging his stick around to a second young man, also very well-made, he continues, and Muzulu and his brothers. 2 days passed, I was walking in the forest, when I came upon Kasoka and Muzulu fighting. I put my walking stick between them to stop the fight. They accepted my rebuke and agreed to bring their dispute before you. For this, I praise them. It isn't easy to submit to the judgment of other men, but they have agreed and pledged to do so. The elders murmur their approval as Cato goes on. Today, we will hear them settle their dispute so that anger doesn't smolder in our village. Let Kasoka begin. Kasoka rises slowly from his haunches, carrying himself defiantly to the center of the square. Elders of the village, you know me. I am Kasoka, your kinsman, a goat breeder. I trade in skins, flesh, and breeding stock all through the valleys of the Ruwenzori. Lately, I traveled to the village of my trading partner Chiambi to buy a goat, a strong young billy, to breed stock. I paid in hides and chickens. It was late when I got home, and I thought I'd better put this new goat in the kraal alone so he wouldn't fight with the other billy. And that's what I did. But in the night, I heard a ruckus. My new goat had broken down the rails and mixed with the herd. My goats were on the loose and ran into the forest, and my new goat was fighting with the other billy. I tried to put a rope on him, but he got away and also ran into the forest. In the morning, I went to look for my goats. I found their tracks everywhere, in and out of the forest and down by the river, but I didn't find my goats. I looked for 3 more days before I found my nannies, and it wasn't until the 5th day that I found my new goat. He was roped to a post outside the house of this man, Muzulu. Muzulu wasn't home, but his wife was. I told her, "This is my goat, and I'm taking him home." She said, "No, that's my husband's goat." I said, "Your husband told you that? He's lying. He's trying to steal my goat." She yelled at me, but I took my goat. I hadn't gone far when Muzulu ran up on me and pushed me to the ground. You see, I am cut. I struck the root of an acacia tree when he pushed me and stole my goat. I chased him, and we fought. That's when Cato came upon us and stopped the fight. Now I ask Cato if this isn't so. Cato stands and answers in a strong voice. "It's true. I saw Muzulu leading a goat, but I don't know whose goat it was. What do you say, Muzulu? What is your word on this matter?" Muzulu strides to the center of the square, his eyes locked on Kasoka, who stands his ground. The men swagger up to one another, itching for a fight. Several elders pound their walking sticks, calling out, "Let him speak! Let him speak!" Kasoka slowly yields the ground to Muzulu, who holds eye contact with the elders before beginning confidently. "Elders of the village, you know me, Muzulu, your kinsman. I'm a young man and not rich, but lately I arranged to have a wife. Some of you know this because you helped me find the bride price for her. After I paid her father and brothers, I had nothing left but a single chicken. A single chicken isn't much. It's not good enough to honor the mother of the bride. Elders, you know it's our way to honor the bride's mother with the gift of a goat. That's why I sacrificed my one chicken on the shrine of my ancestors so they'd help me honor my wife's mother. The next day, I was walking in the forest and I saw a goat grazing in a clearing. It had no rope around its neck, no marks. It was a goat sent by our ancestors. Maybe I shouldn't have pushed my kinsman Kasoka. But when I found my wife crying and chased after him and saw he'd stolen my goat, I lost reason. Kasoka jumps to his feet. His brothers stand beside him. He jabs his finger at Muzulu. I did not steal your goat. My wife saw. You took it from the post in front of my house. Yes, where you tied it after you stole it from me. But Muzulu insists. Why was I in the forest at the same moment as this goat? It's a big forest, but I went exactly where the goat was. Why? Many people walk those trails, but I was there at that moment because the ancestors sent this goat to me. Kasoka's father stands, shaking a finger at Muzulu. What does that mean? You found it in the forest? Goats don't live in the forest. They live in the village, like people. If you see a human wandering in the forest, do you take it home and keep it? No, you don't. And it's the same with a goat. You know the goat doesn't belong to you. So you ask the people, whose goat is this? If you don't, you're stealing it. An elder stands and points his walking stick at Kasoka. You aren't a wealthy man, but you have two billies. One billy can take care of many wives. Why do you need two billies? Kasoka answers, the old billy can't mount the nannies anymore. Another elder stands and speaks. We must ask Chiambi to come look at the goat and say if it's the one he sold Kasoka. But Muzulu calls out, Chiambi can't help. Yesterday we went to my wife's village and gave her mother the goat. The goat was sacrificed, butchered, and eaten. Kasoka shakes with anger. Elders, Muzulu has slaughtered my goat. It was no ordinary sacrificial goat. It was a fine breeder. Why did he slaughter a valuable goat? Because he knows. He knows the only way to keep a stolen goat is to eat it. Muzulu shouts over Kasoka. Elders, this goat was sent to me by the ancestors. Should I tell them no, grandfathers? This goat is too fine for sacrifice? I will keep this goat and breed him? I could never say that. Another man rises, holding up his hand to speak. He wipes sweat from his forehead and begins. Elders, people of Burikyanja, you know me. I have three wives. I have three mothers-in-law. It is right to honor the mother of your wife. She has given you her child, a woman, and from this woman come the children of your own family. The old way was to give your mother-in-law a goat, but nobody does this anymore. I gave my first mother-in-law a chicken, my second a pot of beer, and the third a basket of plantains. That's how it should be. Giving a goat isn't normal. I ask you, men of Burikyanja, did any of you give your mother-in-law a goat? Speak. Ha, no one speaks. Because no one gives his mother-in-law a goat, and neither did Muzulu. He's lying. In the background, among the women, Muzulu's wife jumps to her feet. No, elders, my husband doesn't lie. The men look at her disapprovingly. Kato's wife gestures her to sit, but she repeats firmly, my husband honors his mother-in-law, and that's the way of our people. Kato calls out impatiently, and it is the way of our people for the men to discuss these matters. Muzulu's wife settles back down, scowling. Then one of Muzulu's brothers stands. Elders of the village, you know me. I was with Muzulu when he sacrificed at the shrine and prayed for a goat to give his mother-in-law. I was proud of him, and I'll tell you why. I, too, went to find a wife. But it's hard. Men in the other villages don't want to give their sisters to us. They say we're cheap. We haggle over the bride price and take our time paying. If you want a bride and pay her mother a few plantains, you're disrespectful, and the other villages will keep their women from us. There's grumbling and jeers in the crowd. A man stands and lifts his voice above the racket. Elders, 2 summers ago, when an elephant calf wandered into my gardens and trampled my sweet potatoes, Kasoka told me to come and feed my family from his gardens. He's a generous man, not a liar or a thief. Another man calls out, look at Muzulu, a man now with a wife and a homestead, and Kasoka with no wife but a son. Another man interrupts, yes, Muzulu has a wife, and she speaks brazenly in front of the men. Cato stands, rapping his walking stick loudly against the sound of his stool. Stop all this gossiping and gabbing. Kasoka's son doesn't concern us today, nor does Muzulu's wife. These men are in strife over a goat. A goat has broken the peace of our village. Who would speak to that? Let him speak. Cato gazes slowly around, into the eyes of the village men. No one steps forward to speak. He sighs. Then I will speak. My mind is made up. I know the truth of this dispute, and I know the answer. Listen and decide if I'm right. Kasoka bought a billy, and in the night it broke away from his homestead. Muzulu found the goat wandering in the forest and tethered it to the post in front of his house. These things are true because we know Kasoka and Muzulu aren't liars, and they aren't thieves, but they are both wrong. Muzulu thought the goat was an answer to his sacrifice, but there are many goats in our village, just as Kasoka says. Muzulu didn't ask because he didn't want to know. Even so, if a man finds a goat in the forest and takes it home, he isn't a thief. Kasoka knew he lost his goat, and so, when he saw the goat at Muzulu's homestead, he knew the goat wasn't stolen, but found. He called Muzulu a liar and a thief, but it's not right for a man to speak this way. They know the right way to do things, but still, they acted like big-headed boys and brought trouble to our village. Now, like men, they must bring peace. I say, let them sit together and eat as kinsmen. Kasoka steps angrily towards Cato, shaking his fist. Muzulu has profited from the goat I bought, and I haven't. It's not right. But Cato answers him calmly. It's not Muzulu's fault you lost your goat. Even so, that billy was in the forest 3 days with your nannies. Did he mount them? Yes. If we knew anything about billies, we know they will mount. This billy bred you another herd of goats. For a moment, Kasoka gropes for words. Maybe. It's certain, Kasoka. You brought this goat to mount your nannies, and he has. He isn't lost to you. You will have his babies. The elders nod in approval, wrapping their walking sticks against the ground. A woman calls out. Yes, the men are right. There's a new herd coming for Kasoka. Now let's sit and eat together. A chorus of other women join in, calling for Kasoka and Muzulu to show respect to the village, end their quarrel, and eat together. Kasoka feels the weight of all these voices calling for reconciliation. It silences him for a moment. Cato urges him to answer. Will you bring a chicken, Kasoka? Kasoka looks to his father. The people watch them expectantly. Kasoka's father slowly nods and says, I think Cato is right. The billy goat would breed. Kasoka shakes his head. He's conflicted and unhappy as he turns and walks proudly away from the square. All eyes are on him. At last, at the edge of the square, unable to leave the village, he stops, turns, and says, I will bring a chicken. I will bring a chicken are the only words that can heal this rift in the village. They acknowledge the authority of the elders and the will of the people. Either you eat with us or you don't. You bring a chicken or you don't. You are with us or you are against us. It's up to you. There's no coercion or compulsion of any kind. Kasoka and Muzulu aren't required to bring their dispute before the elders. They aren't required to accept the elders' judgment. Neither needs to provide for or even join in the communal meal of reconciliation. Either man could, in fact, escalate the conflict by moving away from the village or seeking justice through sorcery or witchcraft. They could, in other words, turn their back on their kinsmen and the social contract that binds them to life among family and friends. They could leave behind the comfort and safety of their village, or they could stay in the good graces of their people and break bread with them at a common table. They could, after all, just bring a chicken. Thanks for listening. This podcast was created by an actor, a PhD anthropology, and a screenwriter. Check the show notes for today's bibliography, and we would be ever so grateful if you would leave us a review.